Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. It's a little bit of a throwback here on the Filipino American National News because we're having a voice potentially grace our airwaves going to an ode to the past, but a former co-host of the Filipino American National News, Eric Asuncion, is in the building.
Jeez, it's been a long time, man.
I don't know if he still has shout-outs.
I don't.
Because he was the king of shout-outs back in the day. We once had Tita Lita, who was known for her Balita section that would generally talk about like birthdays and all that. I think you and Tita Lita were almost at the same level when it came to her Balita and your shout-outs on the show. But on today's show, we do have a plethora of community announcements, a review of an event that took place last night or yesterday, and a very popular topic here in the Philippine American National News. Actually, there will be two, but one of which we'll get into probably in the second portion of the show is Manny Pacquiao got back into the ring.
Old man still has it.
I mean, when you were a part of this show,
I shouldn't even say old man because I'm older than him.
Yes, we're both a little older than him. I don't know if we could last 12 rounds in a ring at this point.
No, I'd probably last one.
But we'll get into that a little bit later on. But a respectable showing.
Yes.
Last night. For those of...
Worth the wait, for sure, Al.
Definitely worth the wait. For our listeners that aren't familiar with an event that I'm going to review, I was able to attend the event last night. Eric has attended the event in the past. But the Cultural Society of Filipino Americans 37th Annual Philippine Day took place at the Ojibwe Park in Woodbury, Minnesota. Ojibwe Park is essentially connected right next to Woodbury High School. I believe this is the fourth year that has been outside. It is generally billed as the largest gathering of Filipinos in the state. Eric, when you've attended Philippine Day, what drew your interest to attending that event?
The food, of course. Always the food. And then watching the cultural dances that come along with it. But it's funny because this time it was like nice out. And every time I've been there, it's been so hot.
That was a bit of the irony, is that my daughter, who does dance for the Cultural Society Filipino Americans dance troupe, they were looking at the forecast, and the forecast was saying that it was going to rain Friday, which it pretty much did Friday evening.
Yes.
And that it would let up. I think the attendance was a little bit down this year because I think some people were a little worried with some of the overcast skies.
Is that official yet, or do they have a count?
I haven't heard a count, at least based on looking at the social media post of the group. But it seemed a little lighter, but it was still packed event.
Was there more food trucks this year?
There were some new food trucks. There was a few food trucks that weren't necessarily Filipino-centric, but brought some diversity. There was the Yum Yum food truck. I think there was the...
Egg Roll Queen, right?
Egg Roll Queen Waffle Time Bar. But there was also a new food truck out there, Lechon Cebu, which I believe the family is out of Cottage Grove, Minnesota, and they actually did have a roast pig.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. Did they just have one for that day, or did they do multiple?
I mean, think there was one that they had already were roasting the evening before.
So it was ready for the morning, but then the other one was ready for the other half of the day?
Yeah, for the other half. I believe the vendors and the CSFA were setting up as early as 10 or 11. And a difference this year in terms of the outdoor version of Filipino Day that we've had for about the last 4 years is generally they have made vendors wait to sell till the beginning of the event. The event this year was from 3 to 8. So once you got set up, you were able
to start selling. So here's a question for you.
Yes.
Food reviews I like to watch. Mm-hmm. What is your take on some of the foods there, rating from 0 to 10? I mean, what did you have first? And was it new to you? And, I mean, for if it's their first time or if they've been there for a while, I mean, was it pretty good still? I mean, I know in our heads it's never going to be like our grandma's cooking. But if were to do a review on what you ate, what would be the score that you would give for the meal you've chosen?
I mean, for me, I would have ate the lechon, but I figured lechon was going to be the top seller at Lechon Cebu. I went to order chosulog, which was a chorizo sausage with a fried egg over garlic fried rice and the Filipino spaghetti.
That's a win, man.
It was for their businesses, I think this is the first time that they've actually done a big event like this. So for them, I think they were still trying to work out the kinks in terms of the speed and the processing. There was a lot of people in front of me that were waiting for, obviously, the lechon and some of the Filipino street food like kwek kwek. And, I mean, I was fine with the spaghetti. Filipino spaghetti is generally sweeter. It has the hot dogs. That was what makes this stand out. It wasn't necessarily like overly sweet, because sometimes Filipino spaghetti is overly sweet because they add sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
But I also had a Saigon Meats Manila.
That's a go-to. That's a go-to, no matter what.
And you can tell that Andrew Manalo, who's the Filipino portion of the ownership of the group, is that they've had experiences doing these events, so the process for them is almost second nature. There was a business, I think the last couple years, La Sarap, I believe is the name of the establishment out there, and those lines always seem to be busy, and the owner of that business, Ramon Agne, used to, I think, own a Chinese restaurant right across the street from here at KFAI, and so he's got a good following. And I think a lot of people did go to the non-Filipino establishments, especially for
desserts, the sweets.
For the sweets to balance it out.
Is it pretty balanced for the sweet and the savory food trucks?
I think so. I think
I thought I saw more logos with like everything sweet.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, did they have even calamansi juice?
That's
one of my favorites when I go there.
That I'm not sure. I know a local Minnesotan who was in town for the visit, his family, Jason Perkins, who's a professional basketball player in the Philippines. I think he had stopped by one of the non-Filipino beverage stalls, and he got two. Like, he was so amazed at, I think, the lemonade or whatever they had,
uh-huh,
that he went back for a second, so.
Those are the ones that served in the big containers?
Yes, the big containers.
That's what I was looking for.
And that's like, I saw him drinking one, and before he was like, oh, before I head out, I'm going to grab another one. So it was a win-win for him. And
With the weather, you know, with the weather being nice, how was the halo-halo? Was it already melted by the time anybody got anything?
I think they pretty much maintained the flow with it not overly being warm.
Yeah, because I saw some of the pictures that were posted, and they looked like they already prepped a lot of stuff, and they just had to add the ice.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, a longtime friend of ours, Reggie Niche, who helps out at his mother's halo-halo stand. I mean, it's old habit for him. I think a lot of times he's the one who's getting the ice prepared for that. And they were busy pretty much the entire event. Most places, pretty much from when I was there to pretty much till the end, had pretty much came close to selling what they had there. So they prepared enough, even for the early potentially opening and towards the end. And some of the vendors at the end, you know, being, I guess, showing camaraderie, where it'd be like, hey, here's some stuff from our booth, you know, if you would like to try some. And so that was great to see. And the live performances, people, like, there's always some new artists that we've never seen publicly that perform. And
oh, nice.
So that's always good for...
Special shout-out to your daughter, though. I mean, there's a shout-out right there for you. Your Kehlani did pretty well, I heard.
It's to Ninkling, traditional Filipino dancing is her passion, and so you can tell that this is a kid who consistently goes to practice every week for it and enjoys.
You know what I would like? You know what I like to see? A little twist, like the New Age Generation style. I've seen a lot of YouTube videos with these young kids coming out with Tininkling. that have made it their own with different styles of music. I'd like to see that sometime. But I mean, if you're going there to see the cultural part of it, so I understand. But that would have been, you know, a little bit of flavor, so people would come out and check that out too. What do you think? I mean, is that too much, or is that?
Being that my daughter is in the dance troupe, obviously I'm privy to being on message threads, and people show, like, on those threads, like, hey, here's a interpretation of a different dance. I mean, they haven't necessarily gone there as of yet in regards to that. But we also, in the community, we also have the Philippine Student Association at the University of Minnesota. There is a Filipino student group, Filipinos at MAC is what they call themselves. And part of the reason my daughter got interested in being involved is that she went to a Philippine Student Association's cultural night, and actually it was her seeing the McAllister Filipino student group doing their interpretation, where they did something a little bit different, that actually piqued my daughter's interest. But I know that there are people that also want to see sometimes a different take on some of the traditional dances.
If you're trying to get the younger ones involved, yes, teach the stuff. I mean, to know your background is to know your history. But to get them kind of more excited, put a little twist, give it a little flair, give it a little of their age, then you'll have more and more people trying to learn that. I mean, that's my take. But other than that, I mean, I got to believe that, you know, the performances were really good and everybody enjoyed the time out there. Food, weather.
I mean, we spoke earlier on the way here. I mean, obviously there are the people that do the classic, I wish there was a Jollibee here type of talk. And I remember talking to somebody.
I even joked with you, man. Yeah,
you joked with me. But the ironic part about, like, even conversations as that is that if you look at the food scene, people that have gotten acclaim or recognition, it's people that have been doing interpretations, you know, fusion interpretations, like Kasama, which is, I believe, a James Beard Award-winning Filipino restaurant out of Chicago. They aren't straight traditional Filipino cooking in regards to it. And so it's hit or miss. I think we as Minnesotan Filipinos are eclectic as it is. I mean, I think you and I are a little more open in terms of food scenes. We have gone to different places. We went to East Street Social staffing, where there is not necessarily a full Filipino menu, but there's a little bit of a fusion interpretation. And
yeah,
I think sometimes that's what you got to do in terms of
out. Isn't that he takes out the Vegas part?
I can't remember.
I believe that's where he's from, though, right?
Vegas, L.A. area.
Okay, yeah. I mean, he's putting that twist on there, but he's trying to take his menu to a further part where he is trying to get more Filipino food stuff involved. So, I mean, when we talked to him, he was going to do a kare-kare style
dish. I know you were, like, trying
dish.
To...
Dish, right.
You were trying to follow his Instagram to be like, when is this coming out?
Right, so exactly. There.
But I'm going to give you time to breathe. Right now, we're actually going to go with a song selection that Eric chose today. But this is a different version of the song he picked. It's a song called Hoodie. It's by an artist known as Dianella. But this is an official live performance version featuring Allison Shore.
You're the thunder on my rainy days. You lit the skies, left me all amazed. How to travel from the heaven. 'Cause you came here without falling.
Yeah, you never fail
to make me feel like Willie's calling. You're the medicine to calm my waves.
Baby, let me tell you that.
Baby, you're my serenity, my favorite melody, the remedy I need. Girl, I wanna be your one and only. Malabo mapundi, walhati mong bitbit sa yung matilingit. Ikaw ang kahulugan. Going up with just your hoodie, you look so fine, babe. Ganda mo'y tila dapit hapong dagat ang katabi. The way you simply tie your hair takes my breath away. Ang sarap mong isama.
Dianella featuring Allison Shore with Hoodie. You're listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on 90.3 FM in Minneapolis-St. Paul, online at KFAI.org by searching the Filipino American National News. Our shows are archived up to 2 weeks. You can also find us via the KFAI app on both Google Play and Apple Store. And if you missed our great interview with first-time author Daphne Fama, whose debut book comes out, I believe, on August the 12th, that is House of Monstrous Women, feel free to listen to the audio version of that interview on the KFA website or by going to our Facebook site and seeing the video version of that interview. We just talked about the largest one-day gathering in the Filipino community. Next weekend is the largest two-day gathering in the Filipino-American community, and that is the 19th annual Phil Minnesotan Basketball Invitational. It will be taking place at the Legacy Hoops Academy in Woodbury, Minnesota on Saturday, July 26th through the 27th. Had COVID not reared his ugly head, Eric, this would have been the 20th anniversary of the basketball tournament, but this is the 19th
version
of the event.
It's already 19?
Yes. So about 20 years ago, Eric, you...
So what, I designed how many of those?
You designed them maybe at least a good 8 of them.
I think the very
least of the logos. And for a vast majority of the basketball tournament, there have been a T-shirt design of shirts because for the first couple set of years, you could not wear your own jerseys that you got produced. You had to wear the official logo, whatever was put out there. And a lot of times, Eric's design was the design that was often picked. So Eric's very modest, which is a good thing, but he's always, when you tell him that... He's pretty much the face of terms of the design. The most at one point you were probably the most glorious winner of anything in the basketball tournament.
You know, though, I'll tell you this: I designed those logos, but I think the first one was my favorite.
First one?
Who did that one? I forgot. What's his name?
The FMA logo.
Yeah,
it's Brian Portasio.
Yes, that's right. Shout out to him. That was hard to have to compete with. I didn't even think that was going to happen.
But this year, where it is a little different in terms of other years. We will be seeing six teams competing in the 40-plus division, and there are 10 teams participating in the 6 feet under. But for the first time in the 19-year history of the FMA basketball tournament, we are without the open division this year. There were some teams, unfortunately, from out of state that were unable to make it, and then other internal issues with other teams really only left it down to two teams.
Really?
To battle it out this year. I kind of left that surprise for you.
for there.
So you will not see, at least for this year, an open championship. Hopefully next year for the 20th that there will be a return to the open division, and hopefully we can see that. But it's great to see that there are 10 teams from the 6 feet under team. There are teams, from what I'm aware of, there are coming, there are two teams coming from North Dakota. There are, I believe, two teams from the St. Cloud area, and a team as far as Bemidji is coming down as well to the basketball tournament.
Who are the open tournament teams that came from different places? Was that Canada one?
Canada was one, and in the past there was PBA Chicago.
Okay.
That came, but we've talked like in the national sense that a lot of teams nationally, when it comes to basketball tournaments, they're putting a lot of their best players in the funny thing is, nationally it's 5'10" and under.
Okay.
So now even nationally, the open scene is not as big as it once was. But then, like, for instance, with my squad, for instance, there's quite a few guys that are 6 feet, and even on Team Lechon, there's a few guys that are on 6 feet, that are over 6 feet. So I believe there are two Lechon version teams in 6 feet and under, and they have some guys from Chicago that unfortunately can't play because they're above
schedule.
Above 6 feet.
Oh, okay.
So
what does that mean for the 6 feet and under? What does that mean for, like, a championship game?
In what regard?
I mean, from versus open. Clarify that for me.
So basically, every team that's competing in that division is generally made up of height of 6 feet
or under.
Under. I think there was a captain's meeting yesterday, and because of the uniqueness of what happened this year, they posed a question, but it has to be a unanimous vote that they asked the captains, would you potentially be willing to take one person, you could add one person above 6 feet just for this year.
To add on to their team.
Add on to team, but I am not aware of what the vote was on that, so
okay.
You might see that for this year just because of the uniqueness of it and how the tournament turns out. But we might get into Pacquiao a little bit before we go, Eric, but you were there. You were at the very first captain's meeting 20 years ago.
Yeah.
How have you seen the tournament change the 20 years that you have designed, been a part of a team, watching your friends compete, family compete?
Oh, gosh, dude, you put me on the spot there. I really, you know, nothing's for me because I'm not in the, you know, in the mix of all that. But I've seen a lot of improvements. They're trying to make it as fair as possible. I like that. Other than that, you know, it goes very well for me. I mean, I haven't played, bro, in so long, or been involved in like any of the team meetings, to actually give out any kind of knowledge of what I would like to say about it. But what I'll tell you this, every time I go and watch everybody play, it feels good. It's very organized. You kind of get a family feel of it, the people having fun. But my question for you would be, did you see any changes? I mean, is there any drastic changes since when we first started our team? I mean, because remember, I remember that conversation when we both had that let's make our own team one time. You know, I was excited, I was pumped, and I remember being able to play those times. And they were fun.
They were fun. Yeah. I mean, it started out with, I believe, 8 or 10 teams originally.
Right.
And I think the most in 1 year has been either 24, 26. And you've seen definitely the improvement in terms of the skill level.
Right.
Of players.
Oh, definitely from last year.
And you see, and the thing that I think the basketball community, we definitely need to highlight more is that we always talk about the young men, the boys, but it's the girls who are playing basketball now. They need an outlet to come together
right.
to play basketball. And I think, but it's always a great sense of community. Likewise with Philippine Day, it's a great sense of community where people get to see each other. I had someone approach a few of us and was like, "Oh, we need to come together. We should all hang out." Or
right.
I think we should not just make a Philippine Day or a FMA basketball tournament the one weekends out of the year that we see each other.
Yeah,
that we're all busy with our lives, but.
So here's one thing for you. I mean, I know you've been involved in a long time. I always wondered, would they ever take it back outside? Like an outside event where, basketball, originally.
Chinela style.
Right, dude. Like in the Philippines, it's always outside.
The thing about outside, it's hard to, with the
predict
weather.
Predict the weather.
Predict
yes.
the weather.
Okay.
And even now, because of the evolution of how people play basketball, they don't want to play on the blacktops for that many games.
Yeah, but
they feel harder on their knees.
But the shoes have gotten better.
Yes.
I mean, that's a whole different. I mean, we can go into it, I guess.
I guess we'll
but I'm just saying, I would love to see an outside. You know what I also would love to see, and I've been asking Boo, a 3-on-3.
There was actually some talks about that.
I would love to see
that.
I would come back, Al.
There was a talk about an exhibition.
I would come back.
So if I get a text from Boo in the next 15 minutes.
Like Pacquiao said, I need 4 months of training.
We didn't have much time to talk about Pacquiao. Any thoughts about him in this fight over Mauro Barrios?
I just think it's more impressive to see a 46-year-old man come out, do 12 rounds, and still be able to do what he did. I mean, it's astonishing. And then how he praises the Philippines and the people and the fans. And, always what he likes to say, it's all due with God and you could do anything with the strength of him.
I was happy with the draw considering his age. He didn't get knocked out. I mean, he obviously he's 46. He's a step
right.
slower. But it's great to see what he could do if he trains a little.
And he
longer.
Sent a message.
I know he still wants Floyd. He still wants Floyd.
Oh, boy. It doesn't want a rematch. Yeah. That's the thing.
Well, we'll see.
I can't wait to see that again.
Eric, thank you for coming in today.
I'll come back.
You'll come back. We're going to end the show by a song by Manny Pacquiao's son, Michael Pacquiao, featuring Romeo. It's Dito Lang Ako. Stay tuned for sound effects.